You know, that's so true today about the lighthouse. What if Jesus had not come? What if God had not sent him into the world? Where would we be if he hadn't paid the price upon the cross of Calvary, shed his life's blood to redeem us from sin, and then overcame death, hell, and the grave, and arose and went back unto the Father? And you know, we have access unto God through him. I'm so thankful today that it's unto whomsoever will, let him come. Let him come and drink of the water freely. And I also enjoyed that first song that they sang. That was one of my uncle's favorite songs. And, you know, whenever that I was a kid, his son, we got the grand idea we were going to try to jump a train coming through Versailles. And I kind of chickened out. And I said, I like trains, but not that much. But at any rate, we're glad to be here today, thankful for each and every one that has come this way. And we hope and pray that you had a good Christmas season and that you were able to be with friends and loved ones. We ask that you would pray for those that death has recently touched their home. Please remember the family of Patty Warren. I know that they would appreciate your prayers, perhaps your calls to let them know that you're thinking about them and that you're praying for them. And the Bible tells us over in the book of Galatians that we're to bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. And someone might say today, well, you know, Christ does not understand. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. That's true. But he doesn't know what I'm going through. But you know, I find over in the 14th chapter of the book of John where that he came to the tomb of Lazarus. And before that he spoke what he did and brought Lazarus forth, two verses of scripture. This is about the only thing I came away with in Sunday school. Jesus wept. And those that were around said, see how he loved him. And you know, he loves you today. Whatever you're going through, whatever is happening in your life, Jesus is there. You may not feel him at the time, but he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never walk away from you. I'll always be there. And I understand what you are going through. We ask that you would pray for this service today, that God would receive the honor and the glory in all things that are said and done today. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us to the first chapter of 1 Peter. First chapter of 1 Peter. Of course, this was written by the disciple, the Apostle Peter, approximately 60 A.D., and he was one of the last of the disciples that was martyred because of his testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, they tell us that when Peter was executed by Rome, that he did not feel worthy to be crucified upright, but that he requested that he be crucified upside down because he was not worthy to be crucified as his Lord and Savior was. And so I find that that's devotion today. And that is something to think about throughout this day and days to come. We want to start with the 10th verse of the first chapter of 1 Peter. And we're going to kind of abbreviate and kind of jump around a little bit. So kind of bear with us as we read this scripture. 10th chapter of 1 Peter, the 10th verse, of which salvation the prophets, and this is speaking about the salvation that Christ purchased for us We talked last week about how that he came. Here's the reason why that he came. And I'm going to say this morning. If you're here and you do not know him, I would beg you today, become acquainted with him. And this altar is always open. We'll pray with you. But you look unto him today. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Of which salvation the prophets inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. When it testified, and that word it really means when he testified, but it testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom that it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things that the angels desire to look into. Correctly read two verses of Scripture, first chapter of 1 Peter. We pray God's blessings upon even just so much as the reading of his word today. The one verse or one portion of this verse that always gets me, and my mind goes back to the Old Testament whenever I read this, that these things sent down from heaven, the angels desired to look into. I kind of picture that must have been what was represented over the Ark of the Covenant. Whenever that they looked down upon the top of it, or those icons of the angels, they were looking down upon the mercy seat in wonderment and wanting to know about this salvation, this plan that God had in sending his son into the world to die for the sins of mankind. Our thought would come from this scripture, and our theme would be today, Jesus Christ, the gift that keeps on giving. You know, we celebrate Christmas and we talk about the birth of Christ. And sometimes it's like we, you know, okay, that's Christmas and that was that. And we come sometimes fail to realize that there was a lot more to the story. As Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. And that's what we hope to try to accomplish, is that we need to look also at the rest of the story. He didn't remain a baby in the manger. He didn't remain a young child that was in a house when the wise men came to visit him. But he began to grow, and he began to flourish, and he began to take that role that God called him into the world to do. And I want you to know, it's from the cradle to the cross was his journey. There could have been no other way for us to be saved today except that Christ came, took upon flesh without sin, and paid the ransom price that was needed upon Calvary's cross. We find today that the Bible teaches us that he was the incarnate God. You looked at Jesus. You look at Jesus in the pages of God's Word, and you begin to visualize perhaps what he looks like or what he looked like. And you were looking at God himself, God incarnate in the flesh. I believe that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, who came upon Mary. And this young virgin, yes, a virgin, who'd never known man, conceived, and she brought forth one day in the fullness of time the very Son of God. And whenever that she looked at that baby, I like the song that says, "Mary, did you know?" Whenever that she looked at that child, she looked at him. She cuddled him. She nursed him. She took care of him. She would probably kiss his cheek. Did it ever really dawn upon her what she was holding? that he who came to save would save her soul sometime in the future of her life. But he was God incarnate. Whenever that you look at him, it fulfilled what the Bible tells us in one place, that this is what the prophets spoke of when they said that a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth the very Son of God. All of that today was fulfilled and was accomplished in that birth. It was the fulfillment of prophecy. And it's always amazing to me how that century after century after century that the elders poured through the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah, and there encapsulated in their writings would be the hint, if you will, that Christ would come. It was not that God was trying to hide it from anyone, but he would put it into those prophecies. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Behold, a virgin shall have a child. This son shall be the very Son of God. And we could go on and on about other scriptures that told about how that he would be king of the Jews, that is, king over Israel. I wondered how many of those that would read that realize, even the prophets themselves that we read about, probably wondered whenever that they were giving prophecies about and warnings and predictions about what was going to happen to the kingdoms and what was going to happen to the kings. But yet there would be this verse of scripture or this saying from God's Spirit that they would write down. I wonder, they probably thought, what does this mean? But I'm so glad that when the fullness of time came, it began to be revealed what Christ came for. And when you look at that cradle, and when you look at everything that depicts what we refer to as Christmas, my friend, this is why that he came. He didn't come to give us a holiday. That's fine and dandy. But he came to give us life. He came to give us light. He came to give us an opportunity to come unto God. And I want you to know that God had everything under control. He had it all planned out. You know, somebody will probably wonder, with all the things that took place, Herod was after him. And we find that the Romans would be after him, or the Pharisees and the scribes and all of them. They would try to either discredit him or they would try to kill him. But God had it under control. He was not going to lay down his life until that he got to the brow of Golgotha. And there the supreme sacrifice would be made for all mankind to have an opportunity to come unto God. It was a plan for humanity. I want you to know that God loves every individual in this world. Now, some of them I always kind of wonder and think about, why would God love that individual? I'm glad that God forgives me for judging his wisdom and judging his providence and everything, because I want you to know, irregardless of where an individual comes from, God sent Christ into the world to die for those individuals and to redeem them also. In this, God's love is manifest. Now, not the type of love that we see depicted upon the screens and in the manuscripts and so on and so forth. This type of love that God manifested in Christ, my friend, is the supreme type of love. It's without strings attached. It's without the clause that says, I will love you, but you're going to do this for me. You're going to do that for me. It's an unconditional love. God's love is far above the love of mankind, yet mankind can experience it. Paul said over in one place, we find over in the book of the Roman letter, it said, God commendeth. He put forth his love. God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. Not for anyone else, but for us. You mean today that Christ has died for the Jews? To the Jew first, Paul said, and then also unto the Gentiles. Whenever that those wise men came, it was an example unto us that God was going to call the Gentiles out of darkness. And you know, we have that opportunity. I've oftentimes gone back and looked at my parentage and where that ancestors come from. And you know, we had a neighbor one time that said they began to trace their lineage and their background and where they came from. And they said one time, kind of a remarkable thing, they said, you know what? I kept going back and finding out there was some great ones there, and said, then we got to going too far and found out that some of them kind of swung by their necks. And she said, that's whenever I stopped looking into it. But you know, I think about my parentage from the old ancient countries in Europe, where that they worship nature and they worship trees and they worship rocks and things like that. How the God made it possible that our hearts could be open unto the truth of God. I'm thankful for that today, that this gospel is not unto a few, but it's unto whomsoever will. God does not limit it. And I want you to know there is no sinner that is so vile and so far gone, but what God cannot reach down and touch their heart and give them that opportunity to come through Christ unto God today. And so we find that His love is manifested. You're not going to find any purer type of love than the love that God has towards us. And you're not going to find any purer type of love that Christ had as He began to mature and as He began to go through His life and as He began to fulfill what His Father had sent Him to do. He said, no greater love hath any man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. And Christ is the friend of the sinner. He's your friend. He's my friend today. And my friend, He proved His friendship unto us. You know, that makes it to where there's hope for humanity. Now, I know we'll go home and we'll see something on TV about this happened, that happened, and it'll grieve our hearts. It will cause us to wonder, God, why do you allow such things to happen? Why in the world do these people do what they do, wanting to annihilate another group of people, another race, so on and so forth? But you know, because that Christ came, because that there were angels that appeared, because there was a star that guided wise men unto where Christ was. My friend, there is hope for humanity today. And the angels proclaim, I bring you tidings of good news, of great joy, which shall be unto all people. That was one of the first gospel messages preached upon this earth that came from angels who proclaimed that there is good news that man can have a right relationship with God. You might say, well, that probably didn't help the people that lived in Jerusalem at that time. They were under the fist of Rome still. They were still slaves virtually. But I want you to know the type of peace that God gives is not necessarily an earthly peace. It's a peace down deep in the heart. It's knowing that no matter what takes place, God is there. And God is dwelling. And He said, I'll be with you, even unto the end of the world. And so that's the message in Christ today, is that He reconciled mankind, or came to reconcile mankind unto God. Now I want to tell you, you see some of the evil things taking place. You see some of the horrible types of things depicted upon, you know, people arguing with one another to the point that they would take another life to prove a point. But do you know today, my friend, it's because of one reason. You say, well, preacher, we know what you're going to say. You're going to say it's because of sin. Well, you got that right. It's because that nature passed from Adam to Eve and right on down to every one of their posterity. In fact, the first crime committed was where that one hated his and was jealous of his brother to the extent that he took his life. Why did he do that? It's because of sin. It's because the nature of sin passed upon all mankind. And my friend, that's why God provided what He did and what He said He would do to reconcile us back unto God. Now, whenever the two parties are at odds with one another, they oftentimes in this day and time, they go to the courts, they go to a lawyer, they go to a judge, they go to an arbitrator. They go to somebody to try to settle this. Sometimes it's settled. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's dragged on. Sometimes it ends quickly. But I want you to know that God, through Christ, reconciles us. Christ is the advocate. You might say, how do you know that He's an advocate, an intercessor, like you always preach about? Brother, it's because I met Him. And it's because that He interceded for me. It's because that I found myself in such darkness and in such sin and such a shape that I couldn't even breathe the name of God. But you know, the Bible tells us in one place, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's not with any other condition with it. Lord, I'll live for You. I'll do this for You. I didn't have anything to bring unto God that would even merit a holiness that He requires. But my friend, it says that whosoever shall call... That, my friend, that's to everybody today. It's not to those, my friend, that were raised in church. It's not just to those, my friend, that are of another religion altogether. It's to everyone today, irregardless of where they come from, irregardless of what they're like, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. And we find that it's reconciled through the cross. You know, I always follow preachers of the past and some of the things that they preached. And one of them was a man by the name of Charles Spurgeon. You've heard of him in England. Wonderful preacher, placed in that era and in that time by the hand of God. But they always asked him, says, what are your, you know, how do you base your sermons? He said, well, what God gives me. And he said, and he went on to say this. He said, I just take a text. He said, I read it, comment on it, and then I go to the cross. And I want to tell you something, my friend. The cross is where that we need to direct people today. The cross is where that people find reconciliation. Where that they're made right. Where that God, my friend and man, are brought together. Do you know, if you look at the cross beams there, what's in the middle? Christ. With one hand, He stretches out a hand to man. With the other hand, He stretches out a hand to His Father. And what He does, He brings them together. And my friend, it's like the show that says Malcolm in the middle. I like to think that it's Christ in the middle. He's the one that makes it possible today. Through His sacrifice, we are reconciled unto God. He pays the price for our sins today. My friend, there's not anything that we can bring, no lamb, no goat, no bullock, that will atone for sin. That sin goes very deep. It's going to take something more than that. Do you have you been reconciled? Have you been made brought to God through Christ Jesus today? I can recommend Him unto you today. If you're here and without hope and without God, I can recommend Him unto you. If He would save someone like me, He can save you. And He will save you if you approach Him in that right and acceptable way. We're made a new creature. I preach a salvation that changes people. It changes them in the inside. And sometimes that overflows to the outside. In fact, Paul says over in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, you know this verse of Scripture, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. That is a new creation. Old things are passed away. The slate is wiped clean. And I want to say this to people that may doubt their salvation or, you know, things come up that, oh, I did this in the past and I don't know if God really forgave me. Let me tell you something. That's not God doing that. Amen? It's not God that is bringing up your past. You know it is? It's Satan. He's the accuser of man to God, and he tries to get man to blaspheme God. And you know, one of the worst things that you can do is to fall into that pattern, into that mindset that, oh, you know, I did this and I did that. Maybe I'm not saved, maybe this, maybe that. I don't have a testimony like so-and-so. If you've been saved and you've got peace with God, that's enough testimony right there. Some people may be like Paul, where that they saw Christ on the road to Damascus. I used to think that, boy, if I could have my mom's experience, where that she thought that she saw the hem of Christ's garment and reached up to touch it and she was saved. I thought, man, I wish I could have that. Well, I want to tell you something. God did not give me that. He took me all the way to the throne room, to the high priest. That's why I preach him so much, because I met him, because I was redeemed by him, because he came and applied his blood unto my heart and unto my soul. Brother, I want to tell you, that's not, my friend, my goodness, my standing behind the pulpit is not what gets me into heaven. It's because of what Christ did upon the cross of Calvary. And I can point to it. And my friend, I don't know if the Apostle Peter is going to be at the gate like they all say that he is. He may be, maybe not. But I can say, Peter, your master redeemed me. Your master shed his life's blood for me. And I met him, the high priest who came from beyond the veil. We have that assurance where that we were once estranged from God. We are made nigh unto God through the blood of Christ Jesus today. We have an identity with him. We are identified with him when we're saved. That's why that he came. He came, said he came that he might, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, it's not just life, but it's life more abundantly. And though we may have sadness and sickness and all kinds of problems that will afflict us and overwhelm us and even overshadow our world to the point that we can't even look up and see the sunshine today, my friend, he has overcome that. He has paid what is necessary for us to have that relationship with God. And he said in one place in the book of Galatians, he said, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with him. In other words, I died unto sin and was made alive through him. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of Christ, who gave himself for me and who loves me today. That used to be my youngest son's favorite verse of Scripture. He would, after that he was saved, he would, Dad, I want to quote some Scripture to you. Okay, what is it? I said, well, it's found over in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 1. He said, I am crucified, and I knew exactly what he was going to say. I didn't discourage him one bit. Because I want you to know that he clung to that. And I'm thankful that he has and he does. And it doesn't always guarantee that we're going to stay on the right road as far as like our walk in this world. But I want to tell you what God does in our heart is eternal. And it's forever and ever. And not even you can touch it. I like the black spiritual that says it is so wide you can't get around it. It is so high, you can't get over it. It is so low you can't get under it. You have to go through that door. That door, Christ Jesus. When my friend, he calls us out of sin and he saves us. That's what he come for. When he began to walk in this world, he began to call disciples unto himself. And he said, you are to take up your cross. And he says that to us today. You're to take up your cross and to follow me. There's a cross for us. Now, I'm not talking about a burden of necessarily sickness, but my friend, we're identified with Christ and we take up our cross. There's a cross for you and there's a cross for me to carry today to give witness unto his saving grace. We surrender. After that we're saved, we surrender our will unto him. You know, if it was good enough for him to bow in the Garden of Gethsemane and say, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, there's a religious group that says our name means submission. You submit unto us or you die. I died unto sin, and now I submit my will unto him because he gives me life. He does not compel me to become one of his, but he invites me to come. And he invites me to come unto him and to share in his glory. But one of the things that we share in is embracing even self-denial. You know, the Bible says in one place that we are to bear one another's burdens, thus fulfill the law of Christ. I'm so thankful that you do that here, because you know there's a lot of hurting people out there today. And you might not think that what you do to help them, to guide them, to pray for them, to visit them, to call them, or whatever the case might be, you may not think that that's doing any good. But my friend, you're fulfilling the law of love of Christ today. And we find today that we are to love and serve others as Christ told us to. You know, I may not agree with you. I know you probably won't agree with me, but I love you. I love you nevertheless. You might say that the glass of water is half empty. I may say it's half full. But my friend, that's nothing to argue with each other about or to be angry with one another about. It's our perspective on things. But one thing we can meet in the middle about, that Jesus died for us, that he shed his life's blood to redeem us from sin. My friend, we cultivate that love that Christ had for us. And as we look at his life and as we look at his maturity and his walk through the Holy Land and his journey into the temple and everything, we're going to see that he set the example. He set the bar for love and forgiveness. I don't think I've ever gotten to the place, or that I can, except through the grace of God, that like Christ, where that he was crucified, one of the things that he uttered was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you know that our struggles that we go through are just temporary? Now, we might not think that they are, and they may seem like they're awful long, but you know, his grace is sufficient. His grace is abundant. And my friend, when we think about how that he has blessed us and he walks with us, we begin to get a glimpse of heaven. We begin to get a glimpse of what he talked about, how that he came, how that he gave us that hope. I'm going to heaven someday. And you know, I get to thinking about that. It says in one place that it's a far greater weight of eternal glory. In other words, it's something that we look forward to. I always, when I go on a trip, it's kind of good to, you know, go someplace, visit someplace, but I can't wait to get home to Shirley. I can't wait to get home. And I want you to know that from time to time, God puts that anxiousness in my heart about my long home. Oh, I want to tell you something. I don't know that Mine will be a mansion or what the case might be, but it's wherever that Jesus is at. It's where that He abides upon the throne. It's where that I can bow and I can thank Him for eternity without worrying about, well, am I going to be able to clock in for the boss? You know, I can thank Him forever and ever and ever for what He has done. And you know, whenever that we get there, we'll share in that. We'll see the whole thing just spread out before us. All the mysteries of the gospel. All the mysteries of why God did some of the things that He did. And how that it involved us. And how that He loved us enough. He wanted to involve us in it. In His glory. Can you imagine what heaven is like today? Oh, my friend, what men fight for and destroy each other for. The gold that is in this world is going to be the streets that we'll walk on. Now, don't you get there with a pick and start tearing up the pavement. But my friend, it's already yours. It's already yours. We walk through a gate of pearl. No, you're not going to be able to make a ring out of it or a necklace. My friend, it is to enjoy. It's what God has prepared. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. I like this part. My Father's house. There are many mansions. Come on up to my Father's house. I love that song. Come with me to my Father's house. And that's what this gospel is about. It's inviting people to come to your long home, to the place where that you'll abide forever. Come on up to my Father's house. Meet Jesus, the one that's paid this price. Meet the one that redeemed us. Meet the one that sits upon the throne. Meet the one today that paid the price. And you might say, well, I might miss my home here on this earth. I might miss this. I might miss that. Now, the Bible says over in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation that God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. And my friend, we're going to love where we live. We're going to love it. And it's because where Jesus is at, the one who's the author and finisher of our faith, whose birthday that we celebrate, His earthly birthday that we celebrate, we're going to abide with Him. And someday, we'll be reunited with loved ones. I look forward to seeing my ancestors. I look forward to seeing my mom and dad, my grandmother. It was about this time, many years ago, I just got home from college, and she was home. This was the woman that would quote the third chapter of the book of John to me as a kid. I thought, oh goodness, Grandma's called me in her room so she can read the third chapter of the book of John. There was a man that was sent from Jesus, you know, all of that. But you know, I'm glad she did. I'm glad she did. And I'm glad she taught me. And I'm glad that stayed with me. I'll see her. I'll see others. I'll see the Apostle Paul. Ever think about that? We're going to see the Apostle Paul. My question to him that day is, what was your thorn in the flesh? Well, he probably won't even acknowledge it and say, hey, that doesn't matter. We're here with Jesus. And I'm going to see the one that died upon Calvary's cross and overcame death and hell in the grave. I'm going to see Him. You are too, if you've been saved. And you know, as far as like what we have left behind, we're going to have something earthly there. We're going to have something that is man-made there. No, it's not going to be a new bank building. No, it's not going to be a big conglomeration that's built. We'll see what God has built. But we're going to see the nail scars in His hands, in His feet, in His side. And it's not to make us feel guilty. It's to let us know He did this for me. He did this exclusively for me. So as we conclude our thoughts this morning, Jesus Christ is the gift that still keeps on giving today. And I would encourage you, my friend, with all that is within you, thank Him for what He's done. Thank you. Thank Him for how He came into this world and paid what was needed to save a wretch like me today.